Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name is Mark Johnston, and with me today is one of the clients who's gone through our program, Venus. Venus, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
We always really enjoy being able to share experiences like this. And, you know, I know you're taking time out of your busy schedule, so it's really appreciated. So, and one of the reasons why we have podcasts, things like this, it's mostly so that we can share a little bit of an experience, like what happens with these big marriage problems. So we're going to get a little bit more into your situation, but I know a lot of people are out there not really sure whether things can work out, whether they can fix the problems that they have. So, you know, we like to share these sort of experiences with all of you out there so that you can kind of get a little bit of a sense of what happens and what to expect. So anyways, once again, thank you. Yes. So maybe, you know, I think where I'd like to start off is I'd like to just see if you can share a little bit about yourself. What was, tell me about yourself, about your husband, and what was going on when you first decided you need to get some help or support?
Sure thing, Mark. Hello, everyone. Very happy to be here. So I'm Venus Vidal. I'm a student. I study nutrition. My husband works for a big pharmaceutical company. And we've been together for 17 years. You know, we have been through a lot, you know, during that time, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, of course, that's marriage. But what brought me to High Thrive was, you know, we went through a separation, a very unexpected separation. He left me for another woman. And this was, of course, very hard to take in. It was very hard to understand. You don't understand what happened. You don't understand what was the reason. But, you know, it's something that happens. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you can think, why did this happen to me? This wasn't supposed to happen. What did we do wrong? You know what? It happened. You can't go back on it. It happened. It's an opportunity to look at yourself as a marriage. Have a good day, babe. He just left right now. We are talking about it. It's an opportunity to look at yourself, to look at your marriage, not to put blame on yourself, but to actually look, hey, maybe there were things that we could have done different. What did we let go in the marriage? It was just, there's something here that happened, whether it was him, whether it was me. I don't like thinking, oh, it was just him. This was so wrong of him, or I should have done this better. We look into those things, but we remember, you know, as a marriage is two people. It's two people that are supposed to be working together as a team at this. And I actually came to a point where I said, you know what? This had to happen because it's not something that we want it to happen, but hey, it had to happen. There were things that we weren't seeing. There were things that came to light when this happened. Wasn't the best thing, you know, it broke my heart, but I'm actually grateful that I was able to see many things that if it didn't happen, we both of us weren't able to see and realize a lot of things. And when I came into High Thrive, I, you know, I was I was in a dark place. I was heartbroken. I was lost. I didn't understand many things. I was very mad. I completely jumped the sad phase, and I was went into complete anger. And you know, High Thrive, I just feel like it brought me back. It brought me back to myself. When you're married, you lose yourself a lot too, to be with this person and do things the way that this person, you know, likes things to be done, and you kind of lose a little bit of your essence. And High Thrive brought me back. I took a big look at myself and I said, hey, who am I right now? You know, I've been so many years with this person. Let me work on myself. These are things that I need to do while I'm alone. And I learned that you can't work on your marriage until you work on yourself first. And he actually learned that as well once he came back.
So Venus, I'm curious here. It almost sounds to me like, it sounds like this was a bit of a surprise that.
Yes.
So did you see any, like did you ever get the sense that maybe you need to take care of some things, or that something should have been done before this? I mean, you talked about how this was necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say that it was necessary because as a person, you start feeling a disconnection. And I felt that disconnection. And one of the things that my husband and I always promised to each other was, hey, if there's something that we start feeling that is going to be tempering the marriage, is going to be, you know, putting the marriage in jeopardy, we need to talk about it. And if we need to go and look for help, we need to do that as well. So I started feeling a disconnection and I spoke to him about it. But he didn't speak to me. He didn't talk to me. He was sweeping it under the rug. Everything is okay. Everything is fine. I knew everything wasn't fine. It wasn't fine. But when a person wants to talk about and wants to address a situation, but the other person does not, I felt like there wasn't much that I could do. You know, I wasn't going to keep pushing into something that he didn't want to happen. He was assuring me that everything was okay. What else could I do? Hey, I'm pointing out the things that I'm seeing that are not okay. You know what? Let's try to connect. Let's do something this weekend. Yes, honey, we'll do that. But it comes this weekend and you bail on me. You're not keeping your word. And this happened for a while.
So, I mean, your husband's not here right now, but
no,
without trying to read his mind or anything, but why do you think that was happening? Why? You clearly could see that you're missing some connection and that something needed to be done about it. And there was some vague promises to handle that. But what was preventing the two of you from moving forward?
Two things. My husband he's just changed so much that he was a person that didn't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to just go along with whatever was easier for him, because he didn't like the confrontation. He didn't like the conversations. And in comes this other person into the mix that, hey, it's a shiny new toy. Of course it's more interesting than this old hag that I've been with for so many years. You know what I'm saying? What is that saying? The lawn in front looks the greener.
The grass is greener on the other.
The grass is greener, but why is that? Why is that? It's because you're not watering your own lawn. You know, you're abandoning something that you used to love, that you used to care about. You put your effort into it, and something nicer and better swoops in, and you're gonna want to spend more time on that, and mixing the thing of, I'd rather not have this conversation. I know I'm disconnecting from my wife, but I just rather be over here and not have this conversation. And you know what? I'm just going to prolong it as much as I can until the inevitable happens. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. And it blindsided me, because even at the the day before that he left me, I was like, just talk to me. Like, what's going on? Like, it's another woman. Like, I know it is. He's like, no, I'm just depressed.
Well, it sounds like you were really pushing and trying to pursue some solutions here. And here's your husband who was resisting a lot of that. And even on top of that, it sounded like you knew he was having this affair. I mean, that must have been really frustrating for you.
Very, very frustrating. You know, as a woman, you even as a person, as a human being, you know, a lot of people like to say that women have this sixth sense. I think everyone has this sixth sense at a time and point when you just feel it in your gut that something's going on, but you want to give the person the benefit of the doubt so much. It's like, no, they're not going to do this. Of course not. You know, they're not capable of doing this. But surprise.
I mean, how did that feel to you? I mean, like, you knew the problem here was, you know, that here's this, you know, it's an affair. We don't look kindly on affairs.
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. But here you wanted to have the solution. You wanted to pursue some solutions and your husband did not. And I mean, was there any point where you were just like, just wanted to give up on that, or you just didn't want to deal with that?
I mean, no, okay. I didn't want to give up because I wasn't sure that it was an affair. He was just swearing up and down that there wasn't anybody else, that he was depressed, and he is depressive. He comes from a family line of people that you know are depressed, and I just believed it. And hey, he was. I don't have any doubt in my mind that he was depressed as well, because he didn't know what to do. He was struggling as well. How do I leave my wife to be with this other person? Do I leave my wife? You know, we have talked about it, and he said he was struggling a lot. He didn't want to leave me, but at the same time, he wanted to be with this other person. And, you know, once I found out for sure that this is what was going on, this affair, and not only the affair, how long it was going on for, and the way that he did things, you know, you had time to be honest with me. I told you, you know what, I think it was somebody else. Just be honest. Let's just be honest with each other, you know. But I didn't want to give up. I actually thought, you know what, it's not an affair. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's going through a depressive phase right now. I'm there with him, you know. And I remember even telling him, hey, whatever's going on with you is going on with me too. If you're going through a depressive phase, let's look for a counselor. Let's look for help. Let's do this. Let's do that. And he would agree. Yes. Yes. I agree. Let's do this. But nothing was done.
So I mean, Venus, you strike me as someone who's very, I mean, positive and upbeat about this. And maybe this is, you know, just because it's after the fact, but what do you think has helped you to have that kind of mindset or that position here where you can approach this with some love and some support towards your husband?
Because I love him. You know, when you love someone, I think that, you know, a lot of people go through these things and maybe they don't understand what's going on, and everyone's different. You know, maybe some people think I just want to give up on this. My husband and I have been, this was really bad, but to be honest, we've been through worse, believe it or not. We've been through worse situations that have nothing to do with affairs or anything like that. And I said, this is nothing. This is nothing. It's heartbreaking, you know, it's very hard to address, it's very hard to accept. That was one of the hardest things I had to do with the situation, accept it. But I'm not a person that gives up. I've gone through so many things that, you know, health-wise, that even doctors, I have a physical, very severe physical condition, actually. That doctors would just tell me, you know what, you can't go to school anymore, you can't work anymore. And I just love people to tell me no, so I can just prove them wrong. Like, you'll see, you'll see, you'll see.
Do you think this would have gone so well if you hadn't hadn't been the one to be proactive or to provide that support. Because I think it would be really easy for many people to say, well, my husband is having an affair, and to write that person off and be like, well, that's his responsibility. He needs to take care of this. But it seems like you were the one that was very proactive here, and you were the one that really pushed for things. Would it have gone well if you had taken that other approach?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When things like these happen, things like this happen, you're right. One of the first things that come to mind is he has to fix it. He has to do this. He has to. It makes no sense, because when they're with another person, they want to be over there. Why are they going to try to fix anything with you? It was unreasonable to think that. And, you know, when I joined High Thrive, I remember being so mad at High Thrive at the beginning with all these advices. Oh, you need to do this. You need to change your narrative. Why me? You know, and I say, of course, it has to be you, Venus. You're the one that wants to work at this and he doesn't, you know, so you're the one who has to approach it and do the steps and follow these things to get the results that you want and that High Thrive guarantees that you're gonna get. And I did it, and it worked.
So for you personally, I mean, it seems like you are in a much better place right now with all of this. I imagine your husband has done something up to this point for you to be in this sort of position. What helped you the most in terms of, you know, what he's put forth in effort?
You know, Linda, I'll be just completely honest. Linda, which was the High Thrive coach that I was assigned to, she was this person that, like, I couldn't even see her as a counselor. She just helped me so much. She helped me realize, she knew that I had to work on myself, because I was angry. I was very angry. You know, I skipped the sadness. I went to straight up angry. And there were so many things that she knew that I had to work on. And I remember on our first conversation, she said, what do you want to work on, Venus? You want to work on yourself? Or you want to work on the marriage? I said, of course the marriage. But she knew better. She knew that I had to work on myself first to then work on the marriage. Every lesson, every group call, because the group calls, I was a little opposed to them. Like, I don't want to share all of my stuff with all these people, all these strangers that I don't even, you know. These group calls were very helpful. You can assimilate, you can hear other people's situations and be like, hey, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these situations, they sound like something that I'm going through right now. You know, not that every situation is the same, but there are similarities in a lot of the situations that I heard. And, you know, these things helped me so much. And the advices that Linda would give me, the warmth that she showed me, and even the you know, she had to be hard with me a few times, because I'm very, very determined with a lot of things. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, because I don't think that's right.
She's like, yeah, I definitely think that's one of Linda's strengths. She can be a bit hard-nosed when she needs to.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that about her, you know. And she was hard when she needed to be, and she was warm and she was light when she needed to be too. And the things and the advices that she taught me, I brought them to my husband once we got back together. Mm-hmm. He then understood, you know what, I think that makes sense. I can't work on the marriage until I work on myself first. We need to look for the root cause of why I did this. Why am I acting this way? Why do I not want to communicate? Why am I so afraid of confrontation? You know, so we started even making a list. We started doing things and looking at workshops, because I had downloaded all the workshop videos. And we started doing those, and we started, you know, looking at ourselves and individually and as a couple. And it just helped a lot. All the tools that you guys at High Thrive had provided, they just helped a lot, and combined, they helped a lot.
So what do you think, you know, with all of those, you talked about the group calls and workshops and sessions with Linda, you know, I'm not saying any one of those things, but like just in general, what do you think made the biggest difference? What made your husband turn around and say, okay, I actually do need to do something here?
It was a day that I didn't give up. I want to be very clear. I was just fed up. I was just fed up doing all the work. I felt like I was doing all the work. I was doing all the suggestions. I was, hey, you want to do this workshop today? We can pick a time, we can pick a day. It doesn't have to be every day. I just want you to feel comfortable. But if you're here, it's with a purpose. It's not for us to get stuck in comfort, because that's one of the errors. Once we start getting along so well, we're very comfortable in that situation, and we paused everything. And I noticed that. I said, no, we need to keep working, but I don't want to be pushy either. I want to be the one who does all the work. Like, you're here now. You need to work at this. You're the one that needs to work at this because you want to be here, don't you? Yes. So either you work at this with me, or you start working on it alone, because I can't keep doing it alone. And I've done so much already. And there was a point where I told them, you know what? I'm fed up. Mm-hmm. And I actually left. After he came back, I actually left. And it wasn't going to be permanent. It's not that I was leaving him. It's that I needed a break. I was doing so much already with so little in return. And I started questioning, does he actually want to be here? Is he being here because this is the easiest thing right now? And I actually left, and I stayed at a hotel. We spoke that night. I explained to him. He was devastated. It was the first time that he seemed very regretful about everything, because he was, once he got home, he was very regretful, very apologetic about everything. And I didn't want to make him feel, I didn't want to kick him while he was down. You know, I'm like, okay, you did this. We need to start healing. So I didn't want to be reminding him, oh no, you need to do this because you did this to me. No, I didn't want to do that at all. I didn't want to put blame on anyone. You know, I know that he knew what he had done, and I know he knew he was wrong, you know, but in the healing process, you can't kick a person while they're down. And I wasn't trying to do that at all. At the same time, he got so comfortable. To me, it was like, I think he forgot. I think he forgot here something. And I said, I need a break. I need a break. And that break actually put a fire up his butt.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, right there, like you said, the two of you would fall into these comfortable sort of positions. You know, and I'm thinking specifically of Tony Robbins. So Tony Robbins talks about like what creates change. And, you know, his conclusion is that discomfort, you need to be uncomfortable a little bit to create some change. And now I want to get your take on this. If you had done the very same thing right off the bat, right at the beginning, do you think it would have had the same effect?
What exact same thing specifically?
Like, so if you found, before like going through some of these programs or before making some shifts there, if you had left to go take a break out and gotten a hotel room, do you think it would have had the same effect? Or do you feel like you needed to draw him in a little bit first before holding him accountable like that?
I didn't do it on purpose like that, but I think that's what happened. Once he was drawn in, because we were already together for 2 months, mm-hmm. and or for a little over month and a half, and we were talking about so many things and changes that we need to make, and he he started getting comfortable. I started getting frustrated. I felt alone working on the marriage. And I did what I did because I thought that he needed time for himself. He needed time to actually be with his own thoughts, which is something.
I'm sorry. And I did something, you know, with the recording.
Okay. He needed to be with his own thoughts, which is something that I knew he would avoid, like Corona. He would avoid it like Corona. He would avoid being alone, being, you know, think about the situation. He would just avoid this. Confronting others and confronting himself, it was something that he just avoided completely. And I was actually supposed to go to my hometown, Puerto Rico, that week, and I had to postpone the trip. And I remember him saying, oh, this is going to be perfect because I can get some alone time and be. And I said, that's great because I know he needs that. And when it didn't happen, I said, you know what? I think I'm just going to still take off so you can have this space on your own. And he's like, no. So he was insisting so much that I didn't leave. But I know it wasn't because he was going to miss me or because he wanted to be with me. It's because he wanted to stay in that comfort zone. Yeah. And I understood that. And I had to make a decision right there. I said, you know, I think this is one of the craziest things I've done, but I'm going to have to do it. And I did it. And it did work in a fashion like he missed me. Mm-hmm. He would come in from work. And the place was alone. He was alone. And that was very different because while he was still having this affair when he moved out, because he moved out, he wanted a divorce. And I would tell him, you know what? Like, you need to be alone with your thoughts. He's like, oh, I am alone. I think about so many things at work. And when I'm at the apartment with her, I'm like, that makes no sense. You're in constant company. You're busy all the time. That's not being alone. You actually need to be alone. And that's what I provided. And it changed his perspective about a lot of things. Things that I didn't expect for him to say. Like, I feel like it kind of backfired a little bit at the beginning when I did that, because he said, you know what, you're right, I need to be alone. After a week of just giving him the place on his own and me being at this hotel, we spent Christmas together, because this was the week before Christmas. Mm-hmm. We spent Christmas together, and the day after he said, you know what, I just wanted to talk to you. I actually appreciate you giving me this space. It's giving me a lot of time to think, and I think I want to be alone because I've never been alone, so I want to live alone, but I want to still have a relationship with you. It's not like I'm leaving you. I'm like, what did I do? What the heck happened here? This is not what I thought was going to happen.
I do think that this is a mistake that some people make, is the timing of these sort of things. Mm. I mean, you talked about how he left, you know, to go to his own place early on. And if you'd been like, fine, you know what, just go. And you tried to like put that pressure on the relationship, then it wouldn't have had the same effect. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people think, okay, well, if there's an affair, if there's something bad happening here, I just need to, I need to pack my bags. I need to show that person how upset I am. And it doesn't work that way. And especially if like there isn't, and I always hate using this word in the context of marriage, but if there isn't that leverage there where it's actually going to have an impact because the marriage is valuable, then it's just going to, it's going to fall flat on its face, those, mm-hmm. sort of efforts. I also think that a lot of times if people are doing this sort of thing and they don't actually mean it, they're like, I'm just doing this so that my partner will get uncomfortable. Like, they're just trying to manipulate the relationship. It also doesn't really work so well. But it sounded to me like you had some really genuine feelings here. You were genuinely frustrated. You were letting your husband know, and you had already gone through the actions where you know, he was feeling that care and support prior to making things a little bit more uncomfortable here.
Yeah. But it did work in the sense that after he said, you know what, I want to be alone because I've never been alone in my life. I jumped from this relationship with you to being with another woman to being with you again. I haven't had the space to grieve. I haven't had the space to be on my own. And I think that I need to look for an apartment. And as devastated I was when I heard these things, I'm like, what did I do? I said, you know what, Venus? Don't even try to stop him. Mm-hmm. Because I think that he's just trying to, for the first time, internalize so many feelings and be open for the first time about what he's feeling, what he's thinking. He's a mess right now because all of this is new to him. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Just go with it. You know him better than anyone. You know he's not going to follow through with this. So you know what? Don't stop him. Let's do some reverse psychology here. Yes, honey, of course. Hey, I can help you if you want. I didn't, but but you know, he was at a time looking for apartments, and I was like, what is he doing? Why is he so focused on looking at these apartments? Is he actually going to do this? But I played along. We actually had to move from the apartment that we were at. And I said, oh, I got myself this apartment. You know, it's a one bedroom, this and that. And he was not having so much luck finding his own place. And he was like, do you think that we can move in together while I get my own place? I'm like, sure, sure thing, of course. Sure, while you land on your feet later on, of course. So now he's like, I'm not going anywhere. I know that my happiness is not with anybody else. Mm-hmm. I want to work on this marriage. I don't want to throw 17 years away. I made a huge mistake and I want to work on it.
Well, you provided like a really stable sort of situation is what it seems like. I mean, and your husband seems to really likes things to be comfortable. So, but yeah, I mean, we can see, you know, all these actions really helped in solidifying that decision. Now, you're talking about how things were still a little bit up in the air in December. So I imagine it's not like you've reached the finish line and everything is just automatic.
No.
So I mean, I imagine you yourself probably want things to feel quite a bit more secure. So what are you and your husband still, what are you working on right now? How are you working on that?
Healing. And then we actually had a conversation about that the other day. Healing is just one of those things that has been very hard to do. My husband and I, we get along great, and we are able to look into the future. And we are able to, you know, to make significant changes. Like right now we're communicating like we wrote the book on communication. It's been so different, you know. But that healing part, I, you know, you never think that your spouse is capable of deceiving you. And there was a time where I couldn't look at him the same anymore. And sometimes I look at him and it's like, is he telling me the truth? Is he being honest with me right now? Does he actually have to go in at this time? Or is he, you know, and I have to take myself back. No, don't go into that. Don't go into that negativity. We're being honest with each other. I don't need to doubt that he's being honest with me. He hasn't given me any reasons for me to think that he's being dishonest. But is that healing that I haven't gone through completely that is making me think this way? And that's what we're working on. I'm working a lot on my forgiveness. And one of the things that I'm putting into practice now when it comes to forgiveness is something that Linda had spoken to me a while, one of the last times that I spoke to her. I told her, I don't know how to forgive him. And I'm a very forgiving person. And I just don't understand why is this so hard for me to do? Like, we're getting along so great. We're we're not really fighting, and whatever discussion we have, whatever is bothering us, we are taking the time to sit down and talk about it. He is taking the time to not ignore any issue and actually coming to me, you know what, baby, let's talk about this right now. This was bothering me. And we're communicating in a way that we've never communicated before. So we're doing things that we're getting along great. Why am I not feeling that forgiveness yet? And, you know, she told me, you know what, Venus, this is very hard. You're actually traumatized about the situation, and that's normal. But when it comes to healing, start little. You know, I know there has to be a million things that he did that bothered you. Start forgiving for the little things, and then go up to the big things. And that's how you're going to start working on that forgiveness. And I started doing that actually recently. I tried doing it before, but I don't think it worked because I was still so mad and so hurt. Right now, I'm not as hurt, but I'm still obviously hurt when I haven't healed completely and I haven't been able to forgive him completely. So I'm actually working on that. I'm forgiving the little things. And every time I actually tell him, you know what, babe, I forgive you for this, or I forgive you for that. And, you know, and if I don't want to tell him, I actually write it down. I'm forgiving Juan for the situation that bothered me so much. And, you know, I need to start healing that way. And I'm taking that advice right now.
And I'm really glad to hear that sort of stance right there, because I do think that a lot of people think of these sort of problems as like there's a specific finish line, like if my husband or my wife comes back, then everything's good. And I see the problem too many times where they have that view, and then they're like, and then they just fall back into the old patterns that, you know, in your case it would have been getting comfortable and not talking about things. And it sounds to me like the two of you are really aware of what created the situation in the first place, and you're doing something about it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, when I told you at the beginning that we had to take a good hard look at ourselves, you know, I had to take a look at myself too. I couldn't put all the blame on him because it's a marriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are little things along the years that might be frustrating the other person that you don't realize about. You don't realize it because he's not talking to you about it. So I never knew there were things that bothered him. I knew there would have to be things that bothered him, but since he never spoke to me about them, I was always very open. You know what? I don't like this that you did. You spoke to me in this way. You're speaking to me crazy right now. I don't appreciate it. But I would speak to him in a way that it didn't make him feel that great either. And I didn't realize it. I come from a very strong family of confrontational people and saying things not in the best way. And I've had to learn along the years how to tone my own, you know, speaking tone and voice down. And with him, I guess I would speak to him in a way that he didn't feel so great about it. And he finally, you know, said it to me. He said, you know what, there's a way that you speak to me sometimes that it makes me feel this and this way. And I think that's one of the things that you need to work on. Like, hey, you know, obviously I didn't like hearing it, but I liked hearing it. I liked hearing that he had this concern. He had this thing that he's been holding back, and he was finally open about it. And him being so open right now, it has made a huge change in our relationship.
I personally think that right there is one of the most important skills for a couple, is the ability to be able to give and receive feedback. And you're building that up. So it's good. So with everything that's going on, you're working on this, and your husband is involved in the work. How does that compare to where you were, even 4 months ago? Mm-hmm. How is that for you now?
It's a huge change, Mark. We were this weekend doing one of the workshops, the marriage connection workshop, I want to say it's called. It's about connecting.
Yeah.
And we, you know, these questions that were in the workshop, it just opened a lot of conversation on, oh, what's your ideal marriage? Well, how do you see that? Well, how do you see this and that short term? How would you see it long term to maintain the significance in your marriage, this and that? And it got us to a very open dialogue. And we started comparing how we were at the beginning when we got back together and how we are now. And he, you know, was one that said, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe how different I am communicating now, how open I am with you right now. Like, back then, we were both not in love with each other. Mm-hmm. There were so many things going on. We wanted to be with each other, but we were not in that in love phase anymore, or yet. And right now we are. He's like, I'm falling in love with you every day more. I'm communicating so much better with you. I can't wait to get back home from work and see you and talk about the day, something that he didn't used to do. I would ask him, hey, how was work? How was this? How was fine? Just very, very short questions. I would try to ask him open-ended questions, and he just was very short with me, and now it's just so different. We communicate so well. We want to know about each other. We want to know what's going on. And it's been very nice. It's been very different, very nice.
That's great to hear. Well, Venus, thank you so much for sharing your experience with everyone here. It's, you know, like I said, I think these are some of my favorite podcasts to run, just because it's, I don't know. This is why I get into this business in the first place, is to see these kind of results. And it's always good to hear. So, yeah, once again, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, Mark. I'm happy to be here.
So if anyone else is going through similar situations, I mean, you can see there is support. Venus, before we part, I mean, do you have any parting advice for anyone who might be going through something similar?
You know, High Thrive gave me so much to look forward to. You know, when I started with High Thrive, before getting into the program, I didn't believe in the program at all. I didn't believe there was anything that was specifically suited for a couple to get back together, or even less for a single person to work on their marriage individually like that. And, you know, once I got into High Thrive, I proposed to myself, follow the steps. Mm-hmm. Don't try to deviate. Follow what you're being advised. Change the narrative. Do it this way that they're telling you. And there were a lot of moments where I got frustrated, but I followed the steps. I didn't lose hope. And that's something that I want to tell people that are into the program. You know, High Thrive, they know what they're talking about. They do. I had a wonderful counselor, and I got to hear other coaches as well, and they were wonderful as well. And follow the steps, you know. We don't get results by deviating from what we're supposed to do. And it's not that it's something specific that we're supposed to do, but there are tools that we are given because they have proven to be successful in other marriages. And I followed the steps. I never lose hope. High Thrive did something for me where I just didn't feel alone. And I was into these group calls, and I was involved, you know. And, you know, the last thing is never lose hope. There will be times where we're going to lose it. You're going to lose that faith. This is not going to work. This isn't working. I didn't follow the steps this week, and oh no, I blew it. Keep at it. Keep on track. Changes will happen. They don't happen from one day to another. It takes time. It is a process. And just never lose that hope, because a lot of us have been there where you are, and, you know, we've been able to come out from it. So, yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that. So anyone else who is even curious about getting some support, you can always go to our website, highthrivecoaching.com/apply. We do offer some, just a free consultation call just to see if, anything that we have to offer is a good fit for you. There's lots of different ways to get involved, even if you're just trying to dip your toes in the water. So yeah, if you're just even considering maybe getting some amount of help, check it out. There's lots of ways to commit, big or small there. So once again, Venus, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. And thank you, Linda, when you get to see this. By the way, whatever you guys are paying Linda is not enough. I'm just saying.
I think, yeah, I think she would echo the same. She'd be like, you could give us a little bit more. I'll have to talk with her about that. So anyways, of course, just like always, we'll be here next week. I'm gonna say that normally I would have the topic, but it's slipping my mind, but we will still be here next week with some topic. You'll probably see it in the Facebook group. All right, see you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.